you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, the 65th division. Put your finger there and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Amen. Pray that God will give me a quick wit and a mind so I won't hold you here all day. Listen, the Word of God tells us in the Psalms, the 65th division, chapter, second verse, O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it said, But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those or them that diligently seek him. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Minister to us today, God. Use me as an oracle of your presence, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look right now and say, hey, he's going to preach to us. And see, I can see some of you right now going, is he going to preach after all this? I am. Because God gave me a message for this church for this day. I may not finish it, but I'm going to start it. Hello? Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the God who hears. Isn't it great to know your God ain't deaf? Amen. Praise God. You know what? My Bible tells me that God's nature is to hear our prayers. You say, preacher, you can't prove it. I most certainly can. Because you see, God has names that tell us who he is. One of the names attributed to God is actually one of the Hebrew words translated in the 65th division, Psalms, verse 2. It is the word Shama. Amen. It's a primitive root which simply means the God who hears intelligently, often with implication of attention, obedience. You say, what are you getting at? It means God says, when you call on me, you got my attention. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but hey, isn't it awesome to have a God that has 6 billion people talk to him at the same time? Every one of them individually has his attention. He said, now wait a minute, preacher, God can't do that. Then you don't serve the same God I do. Amen. I hear the word of David when he said, God, you are mindful of me. I mean, even when I'm not praying, he knows what's going on in my life. He knows the things that's happening for me. But when I begin to cry out to him, he hears every word. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. God inspired the psalmist to call him and say that he is the one that heareth prayers. Amen. And the English just means the one who hears our prayers. Amen. Listen, Isaiah 65, it said, they shall not labor in vain, who are nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring's in them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that great? You know what that tells me? He ain't got a great writer up there writing down my prayer on some notepad, running to him, say, I got a message from Ken Stroop. Amen. There's not a secretary taking messages from each one of us and running to him. Amen. But God himself will hear every word while it is proceeding forth out of my mouth. And while I'm calling on him, he said, while you're yet talking, I'm going to listen to you. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I'll hear the word of Zechariah in the 13th chapter, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver and as refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen. Psalms 34 said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Amen. 1 Peter 3rd chapter, the Bible tells me, he said this, he said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know what it said? It said, if I'm living where I need to be and I call on God, his hand is not short, neither is his heavy, that he cannot hear my prayer. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. Behold, the 59th chapter, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ears heavy that he cannot hear our prayer. Could you say amen to that? Praise God. What are you saying? I'm trying to tell you that if you call on God, God hears your prayer. You say, well, preacher, what happens? Well, then God answers, but it's not always what I want to hear. Hello? Somebody said, I prayed for a Cadillac, and all I got was a Volkswagen, because God knew you couldn't handle a Cadillac. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. I prayed for a Mercedes, got a Toyota. But God knew I needed a Toyota because it got good gas mileage and would last. Hello? I'm going to explain that to some of you new folks. I say hello because I'm like I'm on hold. I'm waiting on somebody to say something on the other end of the line. Glory. Amen. Glory. But church, the reality is we have got to believe. Listen, we have got to come to that place where we believe that God does hear our prayer. We must believe that. Hebrews 11:26. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, before anyone comes to God, they got to believe two things. Number one, you got to believe that there is a God. And then you got to believe that God does hear and answer you when you call on him. Hello? You see, preacher, you really believe that? Hey, listen, you got to believe in God, and God answers prayer, because no one can approach him unless they believe God answers prayer. No one can be saved unless they believe God answers prayer. No one can please God unless they believe God answers prayer. Amen. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You said nobody gets saved unless they believe that God answers prayer. My Bible tells me all I got to do to get saved is believe. If I believe that there is a God, and I believe that that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, then I've got a right to believe that if I call on him and say, God, I'm sorry, that God is the God that will forgive my sins and welcome me into the kingdom. Come on, church. Hallelujah. And if I can't believe that God is, and I can't believe that God is a rewarder, then I cannot believe God can forgive. But if I come to that place that I do believe God hears and God answers prayer, then I got a right to believe that my God is a God who can do anything in my life. Amen. One thing we got to acknowledge is that God does answer prayer. Let me ask you something, church. How many of you know without a doubt that you prayed a prayer, God answered for you? You know, sometimes we pray them set-up prayers. God, you want me to have that car, let it be there next week. If it's overpriced, it's going to be there. You go back and buy it, and then it's God's fault because you can't make the payments. Smile. Y'all know you do it. God, you want me to marry that guy? Let him ask me. Why not ask God to do something ain't likely to happen to see if it's really God? Like, God, if you want me to have that car, let it be half price, no money down, and no interest for as long as I need to pay on it. Now, that's God. God, you want me to marry that guy? Let him inherit $1 million. Now that ain't just God. That's something blessed. You know it's God. Glory. Hello? I'm just trying to make a point. Amen. But you see, church, we got to understand that when God does this, he reveals his power. He reveals his presence. He reveals his knowledge, his wisdom, his grace and mercy and his love when he answers our prayer. Amen. And you know, the problem I've got is most people today really don't believe prayer works. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? If we believe prayer worked, you wouldn't be able to open these doors without people piling in at prayer meeting. But you see, we have prayer meeting, and you got to beg folks to come out and pray with us on Monday night and Wednesday morning, because we really don't believe prayer works. Because if we believe prayer worked, you'd be doing it, except, you know, and it wouldn't just be when you had problems. It wouldn't be after you got the car tore up and you got to pray because you didn't change the oil and it blew up and you got to get a new car. Oh, God, help me now. Why didn't you pray and let God give you wisdom to change the oil? Hello? You know, the time to call on God ain't after you got in the swamp and the alligator's gnawing on your leg. It was before you got in the swamp. God, keep me out of the water so the alligator can't gnaw. The time to really get a hold to God is not after you're separated and in the court getting divorced. It's, God, help me love you so much, I love them so much, I won't divorce them. I know, that's kind of like the midget on the sign. I'm going to hear about it. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. Some people, the biggest problem they got, they don't love God enough to forget about themselves, and so therefore it's all about me, and they can't get along with nobody else because it's all about me. Well, that ain't even in the sermon. I just threw that in. Glory. Amen. But now, church, the reality is we got to get back to that place. We believe that God does hear and God does answer our prayer. Amen. Now, church, we honestly believe God don't hear us because we say things when we're not in church. We think he don't know. I know I could have left that out, but I mean, it wouldn't have been with the whole sermon. Glory. You know, my Bible tells me God knows what I'm thinking. Can I tell you the devil can't read your mind? We got some people's convinced the devil read their mind. I had a lady tell me one time, said, well, if the devil can't read your mind, how does he know when I'm sick all the time? I said, because you tell everybody you pass. Glory. He can hear anything you say. You got problems, you don't want him to know it's working, shut up. I told this, but we had a 90-year-old woman jump up one time at church at Buell, and you know, they was having prayer requests, and I was so discouraged because nobody ever got up and testified about the devil bothering them, and he was wearing me out. I was a new Christian, and I was back there, and everybody jumped up, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. I ain't got them desires I used to have, and I'm on the back row going, God, I still got them. Don't look at me. Some of y'all got them, just won't admit it. I at least admit I got them so I can deal with it. Sister Dave Chanel jumped up. She said, y'all pray for me. 90 years old. She said, the devil been tempting me. I like to shout it. Not because the devil was tempting her, because I realized I ain't the only one. Boy, church was over. I made a beeline. I said, Sister Daisy, what the devil tempts you with? She looked at me and she said, I ain't a-telling you. I said, why is that? She said, because he'll know what it is. He'll make it worse. Now, that made sense to me. Glory. Oh, I'm going to move on with my sermon, but church, y'all got to realize he's a God that hears. We've got to believe he hears, not just when we're praying, but everything else that's going on. Amen. And when you think about it, he knows the thought and the intent of the heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you think you're going to think about. He knows what you think you thought about yesterday. So think about that. Glory. But we divulge with a bunch of false views on prayer. Number one, some claim that God is limited by natural law. They stress natural law over God. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, many would do this. They would worship the creation more than the Creator. So therefore, we've got people who believe that the laws of nature abound greater than the laws of God. Isn't it amazing that if a tornado hits, the government says it's an act of God, and yet any other time they tell you there ain't no God? How come there's a God when a tornado hits, but there ain't no God when it's clear outside? Somebody said, well, preacher, you telling me God sent the tornado? I'm just telling you, God set those laws in effect. He's the God that created everything in this world, and whether good or bad, he's the one that got it started. He meant it all operates. But can I tell you, he is not subject to the laws of nature, but the laws of nature, just as we are subject to the God that spoke them into existence and set them all in order. Come on, church. You say, well, preacher, could you prove that? Yes, I can. See, let's see what it says. Matthew chapter 4, verse 39. Amen. They're in a boat. I mean, that boat's getting full of water. Everything's getting all messed up. He done got the disciples in the boat and said, we're going out to the other side. And next thing you know, water's getting in the boat. Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus is in that boat asleep. Now, you're tired when you sleep in a boat full of water. Hello? I remember we had a waterbed one time and it busted. And I woke up, thought I was floating, because I was. It was warm water woke me up. He's in a boat with cold water. You say, well, preacher, how you know he's sleeping? Because I had to wake him up. Bible said Peter went back and woke him up and said, why sleep while we perish? Jesus jumped up, went to rebuke him before he ever got completely awake. I believe before he ever rubbed his eyes, he started screaming. He wasn't talking to the waves yet either. He rebuked the dude that woke him up. Just like he rebukes church folks who wake him up. Oh, can't you see I'm dying? He's going, oh, yeah, a little faith. Don't you know I've been watching you all along? Glory. Hello? See, y'all didn't want that, but it's the truth. Because he woke Peter up, and the first thing he rebuked was Peter. He said, oh, yeah, a little faith. He said, you should have laid down, went to sleep with me. I told you we're going to the other side. It don't matter what we hit on the way. We're getting there. Oh, amen. But he walks out to the end of the boat and he says, peace be still. And the laws of nature bent and the waves laid down and the wind took off. Amen. My God, the laws of nature tell you if you're fishing, fish don't show up. Come on. Am I not right, brother? I don't know about you, but when I fish, unless I'm at Captain D's or Long John Silver's, I have a hard time getting them on the hook. I can go crappie fishing. Anybody ever been crappie fishing? You know, if they bite and they bite. And I've been crappie fishing when everybody in the boat was catching crappie but me. And I'm sitting there. One of them guys said, what's wrong, preacher? I said, I need to be somewhere where they're already cooked. Oh. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, fish don't run where people are fishing. Yet Jesus told Peter, cast a net out. And he said, look, I've been fishing all night, ain't caught a stinking thing. There ain't a fish within 100 feet of this place. He said, just throw the net out. He chunked the net out. And y'all remember what happened? The net was full of fish. Why? Because them fish heard the Creator talking and come to see him, and they got there while the net was there, and he knew they were showing up. Come on, church. Ooh. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're crazy. Hey, try Mark chapter 6. And he saw them toiling and rowing in the wind, and contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking on the sea. Now, church, how many of y'all can walk on water? Then it's not natural for a fellow to walk on water. Yet this dude's walking after they're stepping over waves, kicking them with his feet, just having a big time. You know, you're down there in the wave, getting knocked down, rolled over, and worried about riptides, and he's standing on top of the water going, hey, I don't apply to the laws, man, because I'm above the law of nature. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, now, preacher, listen, I've always said, if I could sit on a flood, and the 29th division of Psalms said God sits on the flood, if God can sit on a flood, I believe my son could walk on water. Glory. Come on, church. And the Bible said he came walking on the water. The reason I wanted you to understand that was, is because it really proves that God is not bound by the laws of nature. Amen. And listen to this. If we get connected to God, we're no longer bound by the laws of nature. Say, well, amen, preacher. I don't believe that. Moses in Exodus chapter 14, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Amen. Now, church, listen. Scientists have tried to figure it out. They've tried to write it off, but you know they actually have found the chariot wheels under that Red Sea, right where they got drowned. And the Bible said Moses just simply held up a rod, and the waters parted, and the children crossed on dry ground. Now, I want to tell you something, church. I had a professor one time. He about dumb as a keg of rocks. Amen. He was a history professor. Me and him got into it almost every week. But he somehow decided that I was his favorite target. And he aimed at me that morning. He said, hey, you said Moses parted the Red Sea. He said, I understand it was actually the Reed Sea, which is a swamp. That's not much. I said, yes, sir, but have you ever lived near a swamp? Because I do. He said, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, in the rainy season, you can part the water, but that ground under is about this deep in mud. He said, so? I said, well, the Bible said they crossed on dry ground. So when the water parted, the water dried that ground out, and they went on dry ground. He said, man, said, you're crazy. He said, you got an answer for everything. I said, yeah, but it's an even better miracle. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, anybody can drown the sea. I mean, he drowned the whole army in a stinking swamp. Glory. Hello? For some reason, he decided he'd put them back over in the sea where they belonged. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I'm trying to show you, you get connected to God. Moses was connected to God. And because Moses and the children of Israel connected to God, the laws of nature no longer applied. They went through on dry ground. Hello? Behold, in Exodus chapter 17, behold, I'll stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and there shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. How many of you understand? He hit the rock, and water came out of it. Amen. Any of y'all ever squeezed a rock and got water? Huh? Because it ain't natural. But if you're connected to God, and God says, I'm going to bring water out of a rock, you can bank on the fact if you need water in a desert, he'll bring water out of a rock. Because if you're connected to God, you get beyond the laws of nature. I read you a while ago, Jesus come walking on the water. Amen. Peter sitting on the side of the boat. All of a sudden he says, hey, if it's you, bid me come. Matthew chapter 14, which is the same story in another place. Amen. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is walking on water because he's God. Peter's walking because he's connected to God. Amen. If we get connected to God, we override the laws of nature. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I just have been around long enough to understand the laws of nature don't apply to somebody who is tied to a God who don't worry about the laws of nature. Hallelujah. You say, well, man, preacher, you believe you can walk on water? If I'm in a boat and God tells me to get on it, I'm walking. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all need to read the book. You can't walk on water unless you get out the boat, because some of you hanging in the boat like them other 11 disciples. Because notice something. Jesus didn't say, Peter, come. He said, come. Any one of them guys could have climbed out the boat, but Peter was the only one who went down the side, got on the water, and went trucking. Glory. Hello? Oh, that's good stuff. You say, well, he liked to drown. Sure, he got unconnected. He started worrying about the waves and forgot who he was tied to. But the minute he looked back to him, Jesus took him by the hand. And I guarantee you, he learned more from the second walk than he ever did the first one. Because he realized, as long as I keep my eyes focused on him, I can walk on the waters of life. As long as I'm focused on him and connected to him, I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I told somebody one day, I said, I wish that I hadn't went through some of the things I went through in my life to get where I am. But can I tell you, everything I've been through is what made me who I am right now. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not going to go much farther, but I'm going to share this with you. Some of you may have heard it. I don't really care. In the early part of my ministry, I think it was in 1978, Priest Revival, University Highway Church of God. I'll never forget it. They didn't have a microphone system, and they were normal Church of God. They sat in the back toward the front. I'm serious. You want a back seat in the Church of God, you got to get there early. Lord. We always fill in the back, headed up. And we, you know, and actually that's really the way churches used to do it, because the first two benches was always called the sinner's bench or the mourner's bench. That's where the sinners had to sit, because the church folks got there early and forced them to the front. Lord. Read your history. I ain't just making that up. But I preached that entire week. And, you know, Sister Law would have a heart attack. Because a few weeks ago, I preached a sermon on Sunday night. And I gave her an outline for the next Sunday morning. She came around and said, hey, this is what you preached Sunday night. And I said, no, it's different points, just the same start. She'd have died that week, because every night I preached out of Hebrews chapter 11 on faith. Man, I talked about faith every way you could think about faith. I wrung it out, dried it out, hung it on a line, and brought it back in, ironed it. I had faith any way you could think of it. I had no idea that the next week I was going to find out what faith really was. But my dad had a heart attack, and they put him in the hospital. And the doctors in Tuscaloosa come out and tell my mom, he's in bad shape. He's got five arteries almost completely blocked. He's got massive damage to his heart. He said, I'll be honest with you, the only doctor I think's even got a chance of helping your husband out is in Jackson, Mississippi, and he was a direct assistant to Christian Bernard when they done the first heart transplants. And he said, if you'll take your husband to Jackson, Mississippi, I believe that Dr. Williams can bring your husband through the surgery and maybe help him, but it's the only hope he's got. Now, you don't tell my daddy that, because my daddy would have said, I'm dying right here. So we take him to Mississippi. Now, I knew he was going to have surgery, but I don't know everything till we get there and we get him to the place. Now, the great thing was, is on the way out of the hospital, my dad got down in front of his wheelchair and prayed back through to the Lord. A backslid preacher. Give his heart back to God. And we get to Jackson, Mississippi, and the doctor comes in. He said, well, I'm just going to be straight up with you. And Dad said, that's what I want. He said, you got a 5% chance of living through the surgery. Dad said, 5%? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'll do everything within my power, use every skill I got to bring you out. But he said, Mr. Stroop, he said, just be honest with you, I'm not sure I can do it. Dad said, well, what's my chance of that to surgery? He said, 2 to 3 days, tops. Dad said, well, let's do the surgery. I remember I had to go home and get the family, get Frieda, and call my brother and sister and say, hey, look, they're operating in the morning. They just ain't something they're talking about. They're going in the morning to do bypass surgery. I'll never forget, I went back to Jackson, Mississippi, and I walked around all night. Now, y'all got to understand something, church. When I'm really, really wanting to get a hold of God, I'm bad about getting out walking. You'll liable see me one of these nights walking up and down the road. If you do, don't think nothing about it. I'm just walking and praying. And I'm real bad about finding a can on the road and just... I didn't realize this, but I went through one of the worst parts of Jackson, Mississippi, hands in my pocket, kicking a can. You know, bad enough I'm in a place to get mugged. I'm ringing a bell, let them know I'm there. And I'm going up through there, kicking that can, praying, just, you know, talking to God. I was upset because I called people and asked them to pray, and they was mad because I didn't think about it being 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. My dad was dying. I needed help. And it was like, you know, well, you could have called me in the morning. I'm like, no, I won't ever call you again. Hello? I'm just saying what y'all were thinking. I get back to the hospital, and I walk up to the door, and they got to buzz me in. And I get up, and the guy buzzes me in. I go through the door, and I go in down the hall. And I'll be honest with you, church, I'm not spiritual right now. I feel like God ain't listening. I feel like I've been walking down the road crying all night, kicking a can. He ain't heard a stinking word I said. And I get to the end of the hall, and there's a chapel, and I go in that chapel. And I got to praying, and I got to thinking, well, he didn't hear me on the road. He definitely ain't going to hear me here. It's 6-7 stories over me. So I got to praying loud, figuring I got to get loud enough to get through 6 stories for him to pay attention. And I'm down there praying, and all of a sudden I notice somebody at the door, got that mingled glass. And I kind of look back at the door and see a guy standing there. I just kept praying a few minutes. He opened the door and kind of looked in. It was a guard, black guy. He closed the door and just kept standing there, and I said, well, God ain't listening. He's mad at me for praying so loud, so I'm going to quit. I got up and walked out the door. Some strange events took place. I cleared that door, and that black man wrapped his arms around me. Now, y'all got to understand something. We're talking in the 70s. Black people in Mississippi don't hug white folks they don't know in the 70s. They ain't going to do it a whole lot now, but they definitely ain't going to do it in the 70s. And this old man grabbed me up and hugged my neck, and he said, you all right, boy? I said, yes, sir. He said, you a preacher, ain't you? I said, yes, sir, I'm an evangelist. And he said, you love preach on faith, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you it's a whole lot better if you'll just live it instead of talking about it. Yeah, he could have hit me with a baseball bat, wouldn't have woke me up any better than what he did. Because I was like most people in the church. Oh, I believe. You'd ask me, I believe. I could take a vote right now, and a bunch of you believe. But do we really believe in our heart enough to let go of the rope and quit hanging on? I went in the bathroom, washed my face and hands, come walking back out. I didn't see him, so I took off up to my dad's room, and I walked in. My dad was laying there, and he reached over, took my hand. He said, I asked God to send you here, son. So I want you to agree with me. I said, okay. He said, you don't say a word, just say, God, I agree with you. He started praying. He said, God, I ain't lived right. He said, I lost you a long time ago, but I found you this afternoon. He said, I don't deserve another life, but if you could just give me a year and a half to get my family back in church and tell them I was wrong, it sure would be great. I said, God, I agree. I never forget, my dad told me, he said, son, everything's going to be okay. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, I want you standing by my bed. It's going to be proof everything's going to be all right. Man, I never forget, the doctor come in there and talked to us. I went out and told my brothers and them, you know, say, hey, everything's going to be okay. We was back there, they was doing surgery, and I'm walking around being myself, and they're aggravated at me because I'm not worried and dying like they are. I said something about, you know, the doctor come in, he said, well, everything went good. He said, to be honest with you, he said, I was afraid his heart would never start when I took him off the heart pump. He said, the truth of the matter is, as soon as I unplugged the pump, his heart went to pumping. And I had to give him something to slow it down. He said, your dad's going to be in recovery till about 11 tonight, but said, we'll get y'all in to see him around 10 or 11 tonight. And said, he's going to have a lot of tubes in him, so don't get too excited, but said, we should have some of them out before you go in. I said, Doc, can I go see him about 3 o'clock? He said, no. No, you can't go see him about 3 o'clock. I said, come on, Doc, just let me walk in and just look at him. I won't say a word, just turn and walk out. He said, your dad won't even be awake at 3 o'clock. He's out, big time. One of my brothers, one of them told the doctor, said, he ain't watching. And then they put on the watch. I mean, I'd start to the door and they'd stand up. Where you going? I finally got them playing cards and shot out the door. And I knew about the tunnel in the basement that went to the hospital that they didn't know about. So they ran out in the parking lot, couldn't find me because I was gone. I went to that hospital and I got up there and I walked over and I eased the door open and I leaned in and asked if there was a lady in there. Don't get me wrong, ladies. This lady was big. She was a nurse. Y'all got to understand at that time, y'all seen some pictures out there. Y'all know I ain't lying. I was a little bitty fella. And I said, ma'am, could I see Mr. Stroop? She said, I was told you'd show up. And the only way you getting over there is through me. And I'm going, that ain't likely to happen. I turned around, went down the hall, and some of y'all know I'm pretty fair at opening doors that are locked. And I found a door that said Scrubs. I opened it up and found me some scrubs so I could dress up like I somebody from. I didn't do it. I prayed through. Because while I was getting them, they opened the door, a vampire went by. Y'all know who vampires are in the hospital and people draw blood? One of them went by and opened them doors up and they were wide open and I looked, Big Mama's on the other side. All I can think is, I'm fast enough to make it now. This will get me arrested. All that's going to get me is throwed out. I took off. I left the scrubs laying there and the door open. I took off down through there, and as soon as I cleared the door, that woman seen me. She said, get him! And this boy throwed his arm out, and I fell, slid on the floor, and when I stood up, I was beside my dad's bed. He was laying there, tongue stuck out past that thing, looking at me, winking, because me and my dad are a lot alike. He crazy. He went. That lady said, hey, grab him, get him out of here. What's he doing away? Get a shot. We got to knock him out. I left, went back to the room. I said, man, I seen Dad. He's fine. My brother said, you lying? I said, I ain't lying. I'm a preacher. He said, I'm telling you, you lying. You ain't seen Dad. We made sure you couldn't get in. I said, I saw Dad. That night they let us go in. Mama went in. She going to stay with him the whole time. Us was rotating in and out. And I looked up. I said, me and you going in together. He said, why? I said, you finna eat your words. He said, what are you talking about? I said, just come on. We got beside the bed. I said, Dad, where was I at 3 o'clock this afternoon? He said, I looked at my brother and said, pfft. 7 days later, my dad was home in Butte, pastor to testify at the church one night. You know, I used to wonder what my dad sounded like when he preached. I never heard him preach a message, but I heard him testify. He stood up and he said, y'all get excited about the streets of gold and you ain't never seen them. You don't know half what they're going to look like. He said, but the other morning I got excited about Boothtown Road. Because I thought I never would see it, but God brought me home. And I saw that road, and I walked down it, and I'm here because I got a God that loves me. And I want to tell you something, church, that made my life. But my dad died in 1979, December the 20th. You know, anytime something like that happens, one of the greatest things you got to have is closure. I went through the funeral, and I was an executor. I had all the pressure on me to take care of everything, get it done, and I didn't have time to grieve. It was a week after my dad died before I finally broke under the pressure that he had died. And I'll never forget, I went to visit the grave, and I'm standing there one day looking, and all of a sudden the Lord said, think about it. Research it. The answer's on that tombstone. On June the 20th, 1978, on a Thursday morning, my dad prayed for a year and a half. On December the 20th, 1979, on a Thursday morning, 18 months to the day of the week that my dad said, give me a year and a half and I'll come home. My dad left this world. During that 18 months, he got every one of my brothers and sisters and talked to him about God. An uncle that I had that had been raised in my family, he talked to him, and they all either got in church or at least started talking about getting in church. And he left this world knowing I'd done what I told God I'd do. He said, well, preacher, he's gone. Yes, but I got closure because I know God heard, and God answered his prayer. And I want to tell you something, church. God hears when you cry to him. Some of you have been fighting things a long time, but when you really get down to business with God, God is going to hear your prayer. God's going to answer. I want you to stand with me all over the house. It may be a day I finish this message. I'm not going to promise yes or no. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I believe with all my heart, God put it in me to give you this message this morning. I believe that people on the sound of my voice that you need to know God does hear, and God will answer. when we cry out to him. But here's the main problem. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus is not talking to a world full of people that don't know him. He's writing a letter to a church. And to that church, he said, I stand at the door and I knock. That means the church is the one that's closed the door on God, not the world. Because we're the ones supposed to know it's to be open. And we closed it. He said, but if you'll open the door, I will come in. I will do great things. I believe I'm talking to some people that love God this morning, but you, for whatever reason, have kind of shut him out. And God's saying to you, if you'll open the door, I'm going to hear you. If you'll open the door, I'm going to answer. Maybe there's some things in your life that's put a door between you and God. Whatever it is, it ain't worth it. Throw it away. Let him in. And begin to see what God can do. Just listen, God hasn't changed. That same God that was healing the sick in Jerusalem is the same God that's on the throne right now. That same God that was sending manna from heaven is the same God that's sitting on the throne right now. That same God who was able to lift men up out of the grave and put them back on their feet is the same God that's on the throne right now. We've got to get to be the people that he was dealing with then and begin to get the door open. And God will hear. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, touch us with your glory. God, today, take us beyond the veil into your presence. Let your glory come down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Let me tell you something, church. And I'm going to close with this, but I want you to think very seriously about what Brother Ken's fixing to tell you. See, God never commanded us to sing without ceasing. He never commanded us to preach without ceasing. He never said to give without ceasing. He never said to worship without ceasing. But he did say this, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. God wants you to open up your heart to him on a regular basis. Let it become a lifestyle.